Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone. Tonight is Friday, April 24th, 2015. I am Chief Langley, Savannah River Band of Uchi Indians Tribe. And tonight, we're going to talk about preserving your family history. Preserving family history is very, very important. And as I speak tonight, I speak to colored people. I speak to the Negro. I speak to the Black. And I speak to the African American. And I also speak to the European. And I speak to the white folks. But more important, the focus here tonight is on preserving family history, understanding history of who you are. And many people in this country are of Native and African heritage, and are Native and white heritage, and are Native and Asian heritage, or Native and Mexican, and some people are all of the above, and some people are just Native. But because of Native American slavery, most people really don't know what percentage of what. And I say to many people, forget the percentage. Let's deal with the blood. The blood is what's important. Because if your grandmother or grandfather of 500 years ago was living, you still would be his or her grandchild or generational grandchild. So be careful who you decide after so many generations. It doesn't matter. I don't know where you get that Euro thinking from. Blood is blood. So tonight, I'm going to talk about preserving history. Many a times, when an ancestor dies, the first thing the colored community does is throw away the clothes, head straight to the Goodwill or the trash can or the neighbor next door or anybody who wants it can have it. You should at least preserve something because you've never been taught to save anything. And you wonder why you are so far behind anything. Don't clean the cemeteries. Once you lay that mother or father, that grandmother, father, uncle, aunt, or brother, sister in the cemetery, you forget about the grave. You're not preserving your history. They didn't mean that much to you in life that you won't keep the cemeteries clean and upkept. We have some of the worst cemeteries in the world. But yet, you love your mother and father, and you love your ancestors. You love your mom and daddy so much, you wanted to jump in the grave with them. But yet, a year later, a year or two later, you have forgotten about the grave. That's just the body. But the spirit of them still resonates. You got to preserve that history. When great-grandmama died or grandmama died or sometime mama died on them, what do? You sell the house. If the house is over 50 years or more, serve it. Make it a museum. If you can't decide who wants to live in it, nobody lives in it, and make it a museum to preserve your history. We have fallen short of that. And it's time to make a change. So tonight, I'm speaking to you on preserving whatever you got. I don't care if it's an old walking cane, preserve it. Old eyeglasses, preserve it. You walked in many museums in this country, and what you found, clothing, preserve. Create a family museum. Start thinking on that level. Start thinking to preserve. Start thinking on family heritage societies. Read up on them. Many of you don't know how to embrace your native heritage. I'm going to tell you tonight. We're going to get to the bottom of it tonight. You embrace, whether you Indian, whether you African, whether you European, you embrace it by creating a heritage society and preserve the history and the artifacts that your family left here. Call it whatever tribe you want. Call it whatever family clan you want. These things have been in existence for a very long time. You too busy to want to go run to all these established other organizations. And many of these tribal organizations, especially the ones who are not federally recognized and state recognized, are no more than heritage and preservation society. You have the power within you to establish the very same thing. But you want to be sovereign. You better be careful. Establish. Create you a 501(c) from your family reunion. And go after national preservation grants. Preserve that old home with a federal grant. Use the funding that's available to you. These are things you need to be aware of. We have the House of Ancestry. And in the House of Ancestry, we have an anthropologist on board. We have an archaeologist on board. We have a grant writer on board. We have genealogists on board. We have professional writers on board to assist you and show you these things. I created that as part of the genealogy ministry to show families how to reconnect back to their past. And many of them don't have money. So you have to use the federal funding or the state funding that's available for these programs. Get into the game of that. Get into the game of family heritage and preservation. These are the things you need to do. Don't let your parents live and be in vain. That you ignore that dead body. They're no longer there. They ain't heaven. Looking down on you, not preserving what they left here on earth. These things are very important. So tonight, we're talking about preserving the history. I don't care if it's an old hat, or old pair of shoes, or that old bed, or that old sewing machine she had, or that old shovel daddy used to use, or that old axe he used to chop wood with. Preserve it. That old pot mama used to cook with. Preserve it. What did she cook in that pot? Preserve things. Stop throwing things away. Preserve your family history. It's not hard. It is not difficult. We have to start thinking for the future of those that have not yet came and of those that are coming behind us. Too many times in the color community, you don't remember anything because people stopped talking about it for two generations. Now you're lost and don't know what you are and can't find nothing. And when you can't find it in the physical, you have to become in tune spiritually and connect with your ancestors in spirit. But many of you, because of religion, you think that is a spook. I am telling you, it is not. One of the greatest experiences I ever had in my life, 2 weeks after burying my grandmother, that raised me for 3 days old, Mama was standing in my living room. I got up and went to the bathroom and put water in my eyes. I said, I must be going crazy. I came back out. Mama was still there. I sat down on my sofa and looked, and Mama looked at me. So you call me crazy, whatever. But I'm going to tell you this tonight. The spirit lives on, and they live in spirit. And depending on how long they've been here in this earth, they can manifest themselves back into an image that looks like the flesh. So I'm telling you these things. Cut off from being spiritually inclined, spiritually in tune. But yet you talk about the Holy Ghost and don't know who the Holy Ghost is. So tonight, we got to preserve that history. You don't do it. Who gonna do it? What you gonna pass to your children? What knowledge? What knowledge your children gonna pass to their children? Think you with nothing coming up out of slavery? You think life just started in slavery? What about before slavery? You can't find your ancestors or what you've been told. You can't find your ancestors. But I'm here to tell you tonight, the more you study history that has been oppressed, suppressed, and omitted, and study the areas where your family evolved from over 200 years, you will find exactly who and what you are. Many a times I sit and I read the slave narrative. And I'm going to tell y'all something. That I found more people listed in the slave narrative, but they don't talk about that in the history book. Go and read the slave narrative and see how many Scottish and Irish white people are slaves. Did not have a color. Slavery was about the dollar. So you got to understand, in 1838, a few years before 1865, what slaves they stopped transporting? Why did the British say, we will no longer import Scottish and Irish slaves into the Americas? Langley, where you get that information from? The British Archives. So don't sit there and think for 1 minute only what they call today African-American people were the only ones. I tell you not. The Indian was first. The Europeans were second. And the Africans came third. These things are written. But they don't tell you that. You got to understand history and who wrote it and why did they hid certain things from you. And I was blessed that lived a very long time. And if there is any African ancestry in my family, it came by means of the Spanish. Because we can't find it up to 1725. Not saying it ain't, but most people don't realize how long the Spanish was here. But you're given the perception that only the English started this country. Well, why was there a Spanish war with the English? The Spanish was already here. So many of your African ancestors came in by means with the Spanish. And those African men that stayed around took native women wives. But when you read history, see, you have to read history from all colonial powers at a different time to understand what's going on. Read the French history. Read the Spanish history. Read the British history. Then watch how the American history just want to cover everything up. If you dig deep into the slave narrative, you will find more Indians in slavery than anything else. Now they telling you who they were, who their pappy were, who their mammy were. Those are the words that they use. I spent hours and days on end reading. See, that's how you go back in time. You take those journeys and you go back as you read these things. They are talking to you. Very important. So you got to preserve your family history. It's not a difficult task. Just got to pay homage. What you pay to your ancestors, you pay to yourself. But lo and behold, one day you will become an ancestor. So why not start paving the way? Now, too many times the color community tried to do everything out of its pocket. I'm sorry, when it comes to preserving your history, structure in a manner that you can go and attend this funding to assist you. Don't sit there and think, this is just a little old raggedy house. They're 150 years old. You better think again, because you have a historical gold mine. Preserve it. Preserve that old tractor that your great-granddaddy used to ply with. Preserve that sewing machine that your great-grandmama, your grandmama, your mama used. People, these things are important. We have to start doing better. If they haven't, and those that have ventured out of the South and out North, many of you don't have a clue. Because your family cut ties. Left. Never came back. Some of you, by not knowing, have went back South because many of you have went to colleges in the South and married some of your very own relatives. And when you check the records, 6 and 7 generations ago, you come from the same generation, grandmother and father. Got to be careful. But you met somebody that looked like you, but they ain't kin to you. But they got the same last name your mama got, maiden name. You better check things out carefully. You will have to develop a different mindset of thinking. You will have to change your priority when it comes to this. I believe genealogy can save the world. I believe genealogy, the study of it, will rid the streets of homeless people. Because many of them that are out there at home, if you look in their coat pocket or look in their wallet, they may look dingy and dirty, but he has a picture of his mother, a father, a grandmother, a brother, a sister, somebody. And that's what they're holding on to. I believe the teachings of genealogy and ancestry can take people from the shelters back to home. These things are very important. These are the things we need to focus on. Sit down, dig deep in your family discussion with your children. This is where your answers are. This is where the answers to illnesses are. Many people don't believe when your ancestors die, they go live in you. See, spirit has the ability to occupy many spaces at the same time. It's spirit. Your grandmother can live in you and live in your brothers and sisters at the same time. Because you all are of their blood. That DNA, that consciousness, these are the things you need to get back to. Create your family museum. Start with the internet. Digitize your pictures. Capitalize on your church and have family get-togethers more often. Have a family research program. And have everybody come together and bring the old photos and obituaries and programs together and see what you find. If you don't have that picture on your great-grandmother, somebody in your church may have it because their grandmother, close friends or friends of yours, or they related. These are the things you have to start capitalizing on. These things are very important. Very important. You got to start thinking. They're dead, they're done. No. You're going to be dead. You think you're done? Depending on your spirit? Living on. And depending on the attitude of your spirit, that's why many of them slam doors. Turn on radios in the houses. Cut the fan on. Cut the TV on. Turn the water on. Life that was in that body is trying to get your attention that they still exist. So what are you going to do? What are you going to embrace? Time. There's no fulfillment on this earth than knowing who you are, what you are, where you come from. You got to be careful with history because they got many of you thinking you come across the water. Yeah, you may have come across the water, but you ain't come from Africa. You may have came from Australia. You may have came from the Fuji Islands. You may have came from Polynesia. You may have come from the Solomon Islands. You may have come from China. Get beyond the history books and go dig into the archives. Go to Africa and look in their archives during slavery time. See what you find. Go to Australia and look in their archives. Go to Indonesia and look in their archives. Go to Asia Online, Malaysia Online, and look in their archives. Study it from a slavery perspective. And see where they're shipping those slaves. Many of them went through Africa, then transferred and came on here in America. But they tell you they got Africans on board. Well, whatever colony colonized, whoever's in charge, better look at these different slave trading companies in these areas of the slave trade. What colony or what country conquered what other country and changed the mapping of things? These are the things examining. There comes a time when you're going to have to start waiting on somebody to give you some input and you do some output. I output. Because the vibe they've been on for the past 200 years didn't resonate with me. That ain't what my Aunt Laura told me. That ain't what my grandmother told me. That ain't what my great-grandmother told me. That ain't what my great-aunt told me. Let me go dig where I can find it. Where does Ryder get this information from? We're going to play a game of chess. Let's check this out. Well, he did his research. Why didn't you write about this? You got to be careful with the books you read and understand and start researching the motive of the author. What is his agenda? These things are very important. Don't ignore these things. Many a times they don't even want to tell you about Native American slavery. But I tell you what, out of all the Native people in the Southeast, none entered slavery more than the Apalachee and the Uchi. Thousands, tens of thousands. Can't understand. I'm speaking from South Carolina history. So you need to go dig in the history of the colony that your parents descend from to see if that history may tie to you. Many a times it don't. Too many people get out here, don't do any research, and want to tie themselves to somebody else's history. Do your homework and don't generalize. Get off the hype. Get busy. Start searching. You will find it. There comes a time in history where you don't need to look for Negro. In colonial time, you need to be looking for Musty. You need to be looking for Mulatto. You need to be looking for Sambo. And I'm not talking about Sambo or the African type. I'm talking about Sambo or the Spanish type. As far as the Spanish is concerned, Sambo is the offspring of a Negro and an Indian. But the Americans give you Black Sambo. Better find the origin of the word. Once you understand the origins of things, family, you can navigate. See, when I jumped into this craft 15 years ago, digging deep, because that's the total of all the years I have, 10 years just really accepting the information. I started this journey as a whole 15 years ago as pastime. But the more I read and I got into it, I said, oh, Lord, I need to master this craft. So I spent 2 or 3 years just gathering information that I could find, not read nothing, just piling everything up, collecting, give me this, give me that, collecting. Then after I collected all the jewels of history I needed, then I start going back. That's why I say 15 years and reading what I collected, because at the time I didn't have time to sit down and read. I had time to collect the data, not analyze the data. See? I'm an engineer by degree and trade. I apply those principles to my thinking and to my research. These are the things that you have to do. The so-called African-American people are the worst people in the world to find their ancestry. You didn't do it. Other did it to you. Very difficult. Playing the one-drop rule. You done been Sambo. You done been Musty. You done been Mezzo. You done been Mulatto. You done been Negro. You done been colored. You done been Black. You're African American. Now, what's next? Because every 35, 40 years, it changes. People need to go back and study in the 1900s, where they were examining people who came out of slavery and found out they had what they call Oceanic Negro and the African Negro and the American Indian Negro. All these three individuals had different skulls. Skin complexion may have been the same, but the skull features were different. Tell you alone, everybody ain't come from Africa. Well, maybe 50,000 years ago, you want to count that? 1 million years ago, you want to count that? Let's be realistic. Many of you that come from Africa, you can't identify with Africa today. 500 years, you gone. You out of that. These things need to be very important. Just like the Gullah Geechees kept their identity and know who they are, many other people in this country does the same. Do not think all Native American people went west. Do not think all brown and black people are of African descent. Go and read some of these archaeology reports they did on these slaves, and many of these slaves. Here in America, they call them Negritos. Wow. You ain't call them Negro, you call them Negrito. Well, what was going on is, where did Negritos come from? Solomon Islands? Fuji Islands? Polynesians? How did they end up on plantation in Alabama? How did they end up on plantation in Georgia? The Negritos came in by means of Africa. I just explained it to you. You got to understand what was the World Trade Center of slaves. They may have came through Africa, but many of them are not the origins of Africa, even though they brought them on an African ship. See, I've learned over the years. That's why I remain independent. I will associate with other societies. I will study the general application of guidelines, but I will remain free and independent. See, we have to be careful in life with people, because many a times they will invite you to the table is to take you off the game field. You gotta be careful with that. When you're a warrior in things, you need to stay on the battlefield. If you're in a war room, then you become the minority again. You ain't gaining no traction. Then took all your equipment away for you to fight. Not gonna happen. I'm a foot soldier in this battle of research and giving people truth of what happened. Giving people the truth on how to research their history. I don't care what that book taught you. You better look at it this way. Well, why would you say that, Chief Langley? But what does the author know? He have any skills in the South? Have he researched the South? Did he research that particular area? The bulk of my studies is the Southeast. The mastery of my study is South Carolina and Georgia, because that's where my family come from. I stay in my lane. But I've done enough analysis and enough research that I can tell you in another college what you need to look at, because I have studied the law. Got to study these laws and know where they apply. Know what city they apply in. Know what timeline they apply in. Know what people they apply to. Got to take your time and start studying, breeding. Why were they breeding slaves? What different races did they create? Then after slavery, why are all these people over here look like they got Chinese eyes? And that's a community where they were breeding Africans and Asians. So you find a community of 1,000 people, African and Asian. You find another community, Asian and Indian. Or you find another community, African and Indian. Well, let me share something else with you. You're Pakistani. Your Bangladeshi, the same people you see in India today, you see them in the 7-Eleven, you see them running these hotels, they were enslaved over here too. So you better understand what type of Indian you're talking about. You might descend from an East Indian. May not be the American type Indian. Don't assume that the Southeast, the Creeks and the Utes, don't expect them to look like the Lakotas. You got an admixture of different tribes out in Oklahoma. See, many people don't really know what the ancient Utes and Creeks look like. I tell you what, better go do some research. Some serious research. And study that by means of genealogy. You might be surprised at what you will find, because it doesn't add up what you might see in Oklahoma today. Don't go on that. But not everybody went. There was a law passed in 1802 in North Carolina. And the judge said, one can be colored by Indian or could be colored by African. That was a Supreme Court judgment in 1802. Why did the judge say that? See, you have to study laws, people. Understand social constructs. But they tell you everybody mixed. Then you believe that. Then you look at your DNA. But then your DNA got 1% this, 2% that. Well, how everybody mixed? There's a number of people who didn't mix as much or didn't mix at all. They grouped them in that same settlement, and they stayed there, and they didn't have any issues out of plantation owners. They were roam free and stayed in those communities today. Matter of fact, they said so close, they allowed their third and first, third and fourth cousins to marry the first. These people kin two or three times. You can understand this history. Ain't nothing you can do about it. It happened. It's done. You're a product of it. All you can do is embrace it. So preserving your family history is very, very important. My grandmother put a legacy in my hand. And I continue to speak because I am keeping her and my grandfather and their parents and great-grandparents all alive. My daddy used to tell me growing up, my grandfather raised me, son, you want to go see the Africans? Let's go to Beaufort. They got a village. Identify with that, that's not who we are. And if it is, it came in means of the Spanish. Might be one or two. You gotta know your history. You can be more of something, see? Just like you hear a lot of these folks saying they 1-2-56 Cherokee. Then you might be 1-2-56 African. 1-500 African. Because the way they wrote the rule of the one drop blood rule, it didn't matter if you had an African grandfather 1,000 years ago and one African grandfather, one African grandmother 1,000 years ago, and everybody else is Indian. You African. That's how they used to do the white people in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. They had that great-great-grandmama who was African, black. That's where the word passing come from. Because when they go back to Georgia, South Carolina, Alabama, they the lightest thing in the house. He creeping through the back door. They sent him up at the bank. Because he was passing. America's social constructs created. See, that's another thing you need to spend your time learning. Social constructs. $500,000 slaves, according to estimates, different estimates. But the most I've seen was 500,000 came into the 13 colonies. Many of them died during the winter months. Then they started breeding them with the American Negroes who were enslaved, the Indians. Because if an Indian was in amenity with the government, he was not a Negro and was not a slave. And if an African was in amenity with the government, he was not a Negro or a slave. He was an African, a free African. I said that clear because too many times floating around on Facebook, careful what you read on Facebook. They gonna tell you Indians was Negroes. Not understanding that that time, Negro was a legal construct. They're not telling it right. Don't mix no lie. Because he can easily go up and look up the law. That ain't what that said. That's misleading. There's no need to mislead nothing today. Accept it for what it is. If you fit in that gene pool, fine. If you don't, fine. But don't mess up the history. History has already been suppressed. Already been omitted. So why you want to continue to do what the colonialists and imperialism did? Leave it for what it is. These things are crucial. These things are very important. You don't preserve history when you try to rewrite it. Not making it false. Just dust it off. See it for what it is. You got to be careful with maps. You got to be careful with pictures. They are messing up the truth. And there's no reason to do it. Leave it pure. You can't make your ancestry something that's not. Don't think your ancestors are pleased with you trying to change them. Then if you get sick on your stomach, you should get sick on your stomach. That's your ancestor alerting you, I don't agree with that. You got to start looking at things from the spiritual aspect. So you have a few things sometimes. These things are very, very important. Start looking with your spiritual eyes. Preserve family history. Don't take it for granted. Some of you don't even wait 5 minutes after the funeral. You get back to the house after you done buried somebody and start giving all their belongings away. Then start thinking about the legacy. Preserve it. Family. Library. Start developing it online. Digitize. Create your website. Copyright your stuff. Because you got Negroes to go to your website and take your pictures. Put their name on them. Copyright your stuff. Put it in a format where they can't download anything from your website. It will help you. Develop your databases. And once you have that museum or that library established online, go and create your historical society. Go to your state, pay $25, $50, sometimes $50. Charter it. Register it. Come back home, sit down. Go get your 501(c) application. Create your educational fund. Some people create them as churches. Create that fund. Teaching your history. And once it develops into a nonprofit, go out and look at the trust and preservation grants that they have. Look at the grants they have for whole owl houses. Do these things. Many a times you just have a family reunion and you don't structure it. Structure it. Well, Chief Langley, all those things cost. If you got 900 people in your family at a family reunion, you complaining but it's going to cost you $500? The structure of a nonprofit organization where you can get a $500,000 grant, but you got 900 people in here, you can't get a dollar from each one of them? These are things you have to start mathematically thinking. But you got money to buy them t-shirts. You got money to buy them ball caps. I don't know, sometimes why they continue to buy new t-shirts. Wear the same one from the last family reunion. Most times they look the same. What's changed? The date and location? You want to be cheap, but you don't want... Man, prioritize. These things are crucial that you need to do. You got to preserve. I'm preserving. I'm preserving 250 years of history. Everything I can find, get my hands on, we are preserving it. Things are very, very important. I say you need help, go visit thehouseofancestry.com. Anybody needing the help with Masonic research, we have a Masonic researcher. We have an Eastern Star researcher. You need these things, we have people available to help you. Things are important. On that note, I'm going to open up the calls. If you have any questions, I'll start with caller 312. You got any questions? 312.
Hi. Yes, I do have a question.
Okay.
I go to a House of Ancestry quite often because it's such a plethora of resources that will help everybody. And there was one posting about a video that had was explaining things about a 501c, and it was really informative. They had explained information about how it was three different types of ways to write a narrative so that way you can apply for it. And the third narrative, the third narrative was a lineage narrative. And I was just curious as to where, the third narrative, lineage meant that you would trace your ancestors through one line instead of, you know, going through a lot of ancestors.
That is the proper way to do it, one line at a time.
Okay. And now, when you do one line at a time, like you say parent, and then you have two grandparents, do you still go, you do two grandparents, or you always go to the next lineage?
You do your mother's side of the family. And when you do your mother's side of the family, you do your mother's mother. And her mother, mother. And her mother, mother. Till you can't go any further. Then you come back and you do your mother's father. Then you do his mother and her mother on down the line. Then you come back and you do his father and his father mother. Until you can't go any further. Do you understand what I just said?
Yes, I got one question, though.
Go ahead.
my father, because my father isn't here, I started with his side. So I same process with my grandmother.
You sure do.
Thank you.
You can only go as far as you can go. Some people can't be as fortunate to go back to the 1700s. But this is something I always tell people. If you can go back to the 1700s, you better start looking at Spanish ancestry. Because at that time in this country, depending on where you are, you have Spanish and African people, and you have Spanish and Indian people. The Spanish are still Europeans. So when you're looking for your ancestry, you're not going to find them with English names. You got to start looking at Spanish names. Because many of you have any native blood, many native people converted to Catholicism and took on Spanish names. So don't assume in the 1800s, if you run into Hector Alvarez, that's a Spanish person. It could be a native person from the Wali tribe, which is pronounced Gaul, that converted to Spanish Catholicism and lived modern in Spanish society at that time. Those things happen. People tend to ignore them. That's what they have to look. And a lot of African-American people are going to have to start thinking there are African people here before they brought them on the slave ship, because they came in on ships with the Spanish. They didn't come on African slave ships. They came on Spanish slave ships. So when they see Julio Sanchez, in those days, he could have been an African. These are the things that you have to be aware of. Same thing with the French. If you're down in New Orleans, you got to understand the timelines. Because when the French took it over, the Spanish was in that area. So you got Spanish accounts of people. You have to look at every area and time frame, what colonists were there. And up until the 1500s and 1600s, until the mid-1600s, especially in South Carolina, the English didn't come in and take anything until about the late 1650 or 1680. All of that Spanish. Okay. So when they had the English and Spanish war, you think they killed off all the Spanish people? No. Many of them sided with the British and remained in the colony. Don't sit and think that there was nothing here. That's been the biggest misconception of American history, is not mentioning things and suppressing it. They will tell you the first census of the United States was 1790. So everybody thinking that was the first census that ever took. Okay, what was it before it was the United States? Under the British rule before the Revolution? So therefore, they had memorials. They still had to take census of the people, but they didn't call it a census. They call it the memorials. Depending on where you are in another spot, they're not going to call it a memorial. They're going to call it a muster roll. So the further you go back in time, in the 1600s, 1700s, it's muster rolls. Well, you can't find no census because you're looking for the word census. I'm sorry. You need to look for muster rolls or memorials. Or the Catholic logs. or records. You have to go by definition according to time. You got to pay very close attention to that. Did I answer your question?
Yes, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Next caller, 111. One, one, one. You have anything? Hello? 111, you've been on this line for about 2 hours, so your number is 111-111-1111. Might be a spy. That's common. All right. Well, if anybody else don't have anything, that has been our lecture for this evening. Hope you enjoyed it. You can check out the House of Ancestry and find information on nonprofits, designing and establishing heritage societies, transforming your family reunions into nonprofit corporations, and embrace your Native heritage or your African heritage or your Spanish heritage or European heritage. Some people are triracial, quadracial. They got some of everything in them. And as you go deeper in time, this is what you'll find. So it's very important. And on that note, everyone have a good night. And I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.